The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sneezeisms. Excuse you.
Of course, Aaron Rodgers and what he could do with this Jets team. And as we saw last night,
Bless you. I tried to fight through it, but it wouldn't.
Nah, you got to let it go sometimes.
Sneezeisms.
That was one of the 2 days we were together last week, both Monday and Tuesday.
Is it like offensive to not hear God bless you after it?
No. Just to hear excuse you is odd.
Yeah.
You know.
Is it? I'm just, you know. Excuse you. Okay.
I mean, did I fart?
No.
I excuse you.
Well, you sneezed on live TV. Okay. I just said excuse you.
Well, I said excuse me, but bless you is the appropriate.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I didn't know if you were religious or not. All right. I didn't know.
But I don't know that it's just the societal convention. Just bless you.
I got you. Okay.
They had a whole
Seinfeld bit on that once.
Yeah.
It's worth
you are so good looking.
Yeah, it's all about what the heart stopped and the devil got in there from what 1412. Like, get out of here. Screw off. Excuse you.
Okay, that's fine. I'll try not to sneeze today or belch or fart. But who knows? We still have an hour and a half to go. Not an hour and a half, just an hour, because we spent the first hour of the show talking about two of the games from Sunday. How about this one? The Kansas City Chiefs, with a few extra days to get ready for the Jaguars, go down to Jacksonville, and it was hot. I was surprised that the Jaguars didn't wear their white jerseys. I really was. And I know they're not black. You're going
to
put the Chiefs in their red jerseys,
right,
and it's soaking in more of the sun on a hot day like that. When we walked into the meeting room and we've got the feeds of all the games in the pregame and I see Mahomes in white, I fully expected to see them in red. The Bears, even though it didn't help them, they played in Tampa, which was ridiculously hot, and they chose to wear their orange alternative jersey
as opposed to that
midnight blue that just would have made it hotter. We know that's a fact. The darker colors hold in the sun.
Yeah.
It gets hotter, and it made it even hotter, presumably for the Jaguars. But the Chiefs were really hot. They overcame that. They had some turnovers early on. They got a boost from Travis Kelce, who had a touchdown reception. Chris Jones had 1.5 sacks, a tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits on about 34 or 35 snaps. I didn't know the guy was on a pitch count, because every time I looked up, the guy was doing something.
Every big moment he was doing something.
He was involved.
He was.
So that's encouraging, and he thinks he's going to be on a pitch count a couple more weeks, but as he told me, I'm I'm ready to get off this shit. And
he looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he looks great. He trained in the heat. He trained in Florida. Yeah. He worked hard. He busted his butt because he knew at some point he was going to come back and he was going to have to get back to football quickly and get acclimated quickly, and he did. And he's happy. Look, you know, there's been some criticism of his contract, and I don't know that, like, if that's the deal you're going to take, why didn't you just hold in and avoid the $3 million between the fines and the lost game check, because it wasn't some dramatic bump over what he was supposed to get. But he sees a silver lining there, and he's back, and maybe he'll become a free agent after the season and go get paid a lot of money by somebody else.
Well, he keeps playing like that. He's going to put the pressure on them big time. It just speaks to the specimen he is, I think, right off the bat. To be able to just go, oh, yeah, I've been practicing just for a few days on an NFL football team, and now I'm going to go on the field and be the best defensive player on the field and really only play half the game. It kind of says it all, right? And I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's odd for us through 2 weeks of the year to sit here and go, the best thing about the Chiefs so far has been the Chiefs' defense. They were good in week one and what they did against the Detroit Lions. The Lions, we know that O-line, the run game, all that, they hung in there against them in that capacity. And then this yesterday was a phenomenal defensive performance because, like you said, it was a mistake game. The Chiefs were sloppy, right? We had the muff punt. They hold the Jaguars to a field goal, right? They down in there. Richie James muffs the punt where the sun must have gotten his eyes, and it's actually pretty comical if you see the up close on it. He literally is looking to his left, and the ball hits him on the right. He had no idea where the ball was when they showed the replay. But they get the ball inside the 15-yard line, and all the momentum, and there's a good – it hits him on the right shoulder. He had no idea where that ball was. But to hold him to a field goal there, then – the Chiefs were driving at another point. Here's Justin Watson catching a ball. Okay, oh, fumble. Stripped there by, I believe, Devin Lloyd, or it might have been. Or I can't remember exactly who forced that fumble. I have to go back and look there. So that, another sloppy moment by that. The Chiefs made some fourth down stops around midfield, right? There's the interception Mahomes throws right here. You know, getting a little over-aggressive in the double coverage. Andre Sisco does a great job getting back there and making the play. So it was not a smooth, efficient game by the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs defense bailed them out. And the fact that the Jaguars couldn't score a touchdown, having the ball down close to the end zone so many times, that was the shocker of the day to me. That the Chiefs won the battle up front and the pass rush and stopping Travis Etienne in the run game. And man, Trevor Lawrence, 41 attempts for 216 yards. Steve Spagnuolo is a hell of a defensive coordinator, and they got some young talent that we're seeing as, you know, kind of continuing to get better and better.
They put the clamps on the Jaguars, who only scored 3 points after those turnovers. That made a difference. And
definitely,
it was a hell of a 28th birthday for Patrick Mahomes. He was getting banged around. He was getting, not that he was frustrated in his demeanor, but his efforts were frustrated by the Jaguars to really have those that kind of dagger moment where, okay, now
nothing was easy.
There was never a point where it felt like it was over. It felt like the dam was breaking. It felt like they were on the verge of scoring 14, 17, 21 points like that. It was a fight. It was a fight. It was a fight. And the defense is the part of the team that kept them in the fight and allowed them to win. Here's both Coach Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes after the game talking about the defense being responsible for the Chiefs moving to 1-1.
I'm an offensive guy, but that was a beautiful thing defensively. And offensively, we got to take care of the penalties and the turnovers. But the battle through it shows me a little something. And so we'll get the other stuff fixed as we go. But defensively, great to have Chris Jones back. He was, you know, obviously influenced the game in a positive way for us. McDuffie, you know, nice. I mean, I can go on and on. The guys, I thought, on defense just battled. Spags had a phenomenal game plan. His coaches did a great job there.
Defense was incredible. I mean, that's a good offense, a really good offense. And for them to shut them down, I think they were like 0-for-4 in the red zone, some couple critical stops after we turned the ball over. And then when they got critical stops, we went 3 and out a couple times, and they kept holding them to field goals and holding them. I mean, that win is the defense won that game. And so we have to continue to get better as an offense, which I think we will. But if that defense plays like that, I mean, we're going to be a hard team to beat because that's special.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you need sometimes. There's going to be weeks where everything clicks offensively, and there's going to be weeks where it doesn't. And if you still win those weeks, that's when you're a great team.
Yeah.
And that was a big win for them.
Right.
To get to 1-1, to beat a Jaguars team that had a taste of, you know, it's kind of like the Browns a few years ago when they gave the Chiefs everything they can handle.
We can
and then played
them
early in the season
again.
We're ready to take the next step. And you just kind of push them down a little bit. And, you know, the Jaguars, I don't know, maybe they find a way to glass half full of this. They can say their defense did well.
100%.
They can feel good about that aspect of it. But that offense that's supposed to be next level, not quite yet next level offense for the Jaguars based upon what the Chiefs defense did to them yesterday. And for the second straight week, Patrick Mahomes targeted 12 different players and completed passes to 11 different players. He's really spreading that ball around. Even with Travis Kelce back, spreading the ball around to a lot of different guys as they try to figure out who the guy's going to be. And I'm looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Five catches for Kadarius Toney. That was the most of any of the Chiefs players.
Hurt his foot again.
Nobody had more than 70 yards receiving. Yeah, he had the foot injury.
Right.
And I think it was smart to get him involved and not kind of put him on timeout after what happened last week with the drops, because this is a guy that you need to be engaged. This guy's incredibly talented. And he had a great play where he fought for extra yardage after a catch. I mean, he's motivated.
Drove the pile, got him a first down.
He's motivated to make up for what happened last week. Now that we'll see what the injury means moving forward. But they got plenty of other guys. I mean, I'm just looking through names. Like, every name you can think of was involved, had a catch, had a target. Richie James is the only one who got targeted but didn't have a catch. But 11 different guys, and they used them. And it's all Patrick Mahomes distributing the ball to whoever's open.
We know how awesome he is. We saw Pacheco in the run game kind of take off a little, especially in the second half. I feel like they need to give him the ball more, whether that's the pass game or the run game. He needs more touches. He's somebody that I worry about the Chiefs a little bit here. Kadarius Toney's, you know, health status, which has been a thing throughout his whole career. It's been foot and ankle issues. And there gets to a certain point where you go, wait, it's strike seven, so strike eight's coming. Like, this is just to expect this. And what I worry about a little bit, the dispersing of the ball is really impressive, like you're talking about. But there's still a little too much of it in, it's not within the normal execution of the offense, right? Like, Sky Moore leads the team in yards with three receptions for 70 yards. Okay, his big reception was 54 yards. But we know why he got 54 yards. You remember? It was one of our moments where we all yelled in the screening room yesterday. Mahomes runs to the right. He's making moves or whatever. And then puts the brakes on right here. This is unbelievable. Gets out, and you're going, oh, no, he's in trouble. And then he just puts the brakes on and throws a softball over the middle, and it's a 54-yard gain. But that's not offense there. That's Mahomes' offense. And that's what I would worry about going forward. That's what I'm a little scared about, that we might be just like we've been in the last year or two. They might have to get in the trade deadline conversation for another explosive receiver, because I am a little worried about that element of their offense going forward. Mahomes is going to make it happen no matter who's there with him. But again, to go to the Super Bowl, if they want to beat the Cowboys, they want to beat the Eagles, they want to beat the 49ers, I don't think this right here is going to get it done. And somebody's got to rise up, or they got to do something or improve something there to get back to the Super Bowl and win it.
There's a guy out there they could target. His name is going to come up in the next segment as we hand out superlatives for week two. There's a tease. That's a tease. I didn't even plan that one. I'm redeeming myself for the brain fart last night. More PFT Live right after this. Our good buddy Takeo Spikes was at the Bills game yesterday at the invitation of the team. He was on the field getting everybody hyped up, getting everybody fired up, and then they escorted him to his seats. And, I mean, I guess now he knows how people feel when they try to see around his neck because he could not see around. I mean, that is a pretty bad spot. I hope they don't ordinarily sell that. It's embarrassing that they put him there. And I know being in the stadium is still better than being not in the stadium, but that's a bad look. And I give Takeo no fault whatsoever for pointing that out. That's not how you take care of one of the guys who played for you. You're going to bring him in. You're going to have him speak. You're infringing on his time and his talents, and he's getting the guys ready, and he's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
And to stick him there where you can't see the other end of the field?
It's
who designed that? Yeah. I know that stadium's been around forever, but who designed that would even be a spot where you would put anyone ever?
I don't know what, you know, where he is, what suite that is. I don't know. You know, it is. It's strange, though. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It wasn't obviously as thought out as well as it should have been there. And good for Taquillo pointing it out, right? I mean, yeah, he's there. Like you said, he's taking time out of his life and doing something for an organization he played for. And then he's going, damn, I can't see the 20-yard line and in on the other side of the field when we get down there, and I have no idea what's going on. So, yeah, kind of a mess up there by the Buffalo Bills.
This is the superlative segment. There was nothing superlative about that. Although, based on the way that game was going initially, maybe you didn't want to see it because the Raiders went right down the field and the Bills were three and out. But it leads to your first superlative of the day.
Yeah, I'm going to go with patience is a virtue, right? Wise man Chris Sims once said that. And that's going to go to Josh Allen. I mean, we know. It was a disaster week one. Josh Allen got frustrated like we talked about last Monday. You said it. I think he was mad. Rodgers got hurt. We should be beating them. What's going on? And he tried to force some things and was careless with the football. But then yesterday, I mean, really throughout the day, I don't remember seeing one throw that was dicey, a decision that was dicey, anything about it. He made some magical plays, but within that, right, I mean, just took what the defense gave him, didn't try to force anything. And I think that was the big thing for Buffalo. And then the other thing on top of that, got a run game going with James Cook. So that was encouraging for them all together. Gabe Davis played well. That was a big bounce back because, you know, like you said, it was 7-0. It was 3 and out. And you went, woo, the Raiders, that was easy the way they went down the field there. Man, is what the hell is up with Buffalo? And then Garoppolo tries to throw a screen pass to Josh Jacobs. The ball gets tipped in the air, intercepted, short field for the Bills, touchdown a few plays later. And really, the game was never the same after that. And the Bills just kind of took that momentum. They went on another long drive in the second quarter to go up 14-7, and really the Raiders just couldn't keep pace with the Bills after that.
But that's one of those moments. It made me think of week one where you get the early touchdown, you force the 3 and out.
Yeah.
If you get another touchdown there, it becomes 49ers Steelers, right? It maybe becomes Cowboys Giants where the avalanche begins and then people get desperate and then that leads to another mistake, and then 14 becomes 21 or 17, then that becomes 24 or 28, and that's how things go sideways.
We talk about it every week, right? Where, like, teams go, hey, here's your chance to, you know, stomp them out, you know, choke them out, whatever here. And when you let them off the hook, we see it. Their teams come back. Your Vikings fell victim to that in week one against the Buccaneers. They had a chance. They should have been way up by way more at halftime. They blew that opportunity. They let them hang around. They lose. There was a few moments like that yesterday, too, that we'll get to later in the show where you go, turning moments. One play, one team had the momentum. One play happened, and the momentum shifted, and the game was never the same. And I say that about, you know, it was the Rams and the Washington, the Rams 49ers game and the Washington Denver game. Those are two specifically that pop up as far as a play like we saw here with the Buffalo Bills.
The point about the Bills, though, and this is something Josh Allen told me after the game, complete total team effort.
It was
great defensive effort.
Man,
holding
the
Raiders to 10.
Answered the bell.
Right. I mean, after that first drive,
yeah,
3 points the rest of the way.
Yep.
James Cook and his 123 rushing yards on 17 attempts, 7.2 yards per carry.
183 yards rushing.
Makes it easier
and it wasn't
to
Josh
run the
Allen
offense.
Running for,
right,
90 of it, right?
And you look at Gabe Davis.
Yes.
6 catches, 92 right. yards, 1 touchdown. More yards than Stephon Diggs
right.
by 26.
Way to go.
Yep.
Dalton Kincaid popped up a few times during the game, right? That's what they need. There's got to be an infusion of somebody else other than Allen and Diggs. And I don't know if they got to go more in on just game planning for the other guys and really making an effort to get them the ball, because I think it's only going to help things out. But, yeah, you said it right. McDermott had he was all over Josh McDaniels' offense yesterday. I thought, just because we saw week one, the Jets run the ball down the throat of the Buffalo Bills, I said, well, damn, this Raiders offensive line's bigger than the Jets. Yeah. They're going to give this Buffalo defense problems, but Buffalo played tough. Matt Milano in the middle, of course, always all over the place, but a great defensive game plan by McDermott.
Josh Allen also told me they did a deep dive all week long into what went wrong with the Jets. He worked directly with Sean McDermott to just kind of figure things out. And we talked about this last night in the recap that we do with Jason Garrett, Devin McCourty, Maria Taylor, and Matthew Berry,
yeah,
the the idea that for a great talent like Josh Allen and all the incredible things he can do, there are still moments where he tries to do more than he's capable of.
Sure.
And we saw that. He was looking for that 21-point play in the playbook on Monday night.
Right.
But you don't have to pull it in much. You don't have to harness it.
No, you're right.
All the way to hand the ball off.
That's
he
right.
still had that great play where he's bobbing and weaving and skipping and hopping and then zing.
Right, the sidearm touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that was phenomenal.
That's classic Josh Allen.
That's right.
And
aggressive and reckless. Aggressive and reckless.
Right.
He, for like 2 years, was awesome. And then last year lost his way, right? And then we saw it week one and we were like, oh, crap, is this going to be the new Josh Allen? And hopefully he's self-corrected.
But I think it's so easy to be tempted, like you're Superman, but there are limits on what you can do. And every once in a while, you convince yourself, no, there aren't.
Yeah, right.
And then you fly into a wall that is made of kryptonite, and then you realize, yes, there are.
Yeah.
And that's still the good news is it didn't cause him to kind of completely go into a shell.
Right.
Retreat to the fortress of solitude. He still was able to do Josh Allen things.
That's right.
But he didn't cross that line into trying to do more than he could. And
exactly.
It's a very fine line.
Yep.
But we know when he's on the wrong side of it, and he knows when he's on the wrong side of it. And the key, I think, Chris, is for him to figure out when he's on the wrong side of it and get back to the other side.
Yes, that's exactly right.
In that game.
In that game.
Not a week later,
wait,
but in that game.
That was dumb Josh Allen or crazy Josh Allen. Pull the reins.
During the game.
Get back to it. Yeah. Right. And, hopefully they do it. What's your superlative?
We were talking about well, you know what? I don't have a good title for it. Maybe
Ben,
if I
you didn't
talk
think of
long
a title?
Enough, I'll think of one. No, it was a long – I was tired. Today's going to be a long day, so I had to get straight to sleep when the game was over last night.
Oh, he's got to get on a plane and go to the Steelers game tonight.
But I'm not going to get home until like 2 a.m., and then we got to do the show tomorrow morning. I got to drive home from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, mofo.
All right.
That's right. I like it.
Anyway. I like Mike. How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
I don't like
Mike. That's the first thing I thought of.
What
about
you?
I like Mike Evans.
I like Mike Evans,
so too. So to the extent the Chiefs are looking for somebody to beef up that offense, how about a guy that had six catches for 171 yards and a touchdown yesterday? And he – I talked to him afterward. He had that moment where he catches the pass. This isn't it. We'll see it in this pack. But he really was great all day long. This is it. Second quarter, he catches the ball. He has an opening, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to score. And it's like, oh, man, it's really hot. He said, I was trying my best to keep my legs up, and I just couldn't. He said it was so hot. He said it's different on game day. We practice in this. We practice hard. But on game day,
it's
it
so
is
intense.
Just different. You can never be prepared for what he got.
Look at that
halftime.
Play there.
And look,
spinning off a guy.
He's determined
to shove it up the Bucks,
well,
where the dumb shit is done.
I said, you know, I know you had the deadline
right
before the season started to talk contract. What if they come to you and want to talk contract as the season goes? He said, I'm not talking contract until I have one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The problem is a trade becomes very difficult to do if the Bucks are as good as they are. And he said, I love Tampa to death.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave.
Right.
I can't imagine they would
He's
trade
been underpaid
him.
For years here.
The problem with the trade deadline is it comes too early for a team like the Bucks to say, we're just going to fold the tents and move on from Mike Evans. They've got to keep him around.
The Chiefs want them to be like, 2-6.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And even then, they're not out of it in the NFC South if they're 2-6, but they're already 2-0.
Yeah.
They're not going to be in a position to trade Mike Evans. Whatever they're going to get for him or would get for him in a trade, they'll just let him go if it comes to that and get the compensatory pick in 2025. I don't think they're going to unless someone makes them an offer that they just can't refuse.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they're going to part ways
with
them. And they shouldn't.
I don't think so. No, they shouldn't. Exactly right. I mean, their defense has proven to be a pain in the ass here. You know, they were all over Kirk Cousins last week and doing that.
And all over Justin Fields
all
this
over
week.
Justin Fields yesterday. Exactly right. Stopped the run game. We're harassing him, causing turnovers. So, yeah, you know, the Bucks. This is where the NFC South is, you know, maybe not as sexy as the other divisions, but very interesting. And, you know, I think we see a little potential with the Bucks. We see potential with the Falcons.
3-2-0 teams.
And then
the
we got the Saints tonight if they win. Exactly
teams.
Right. So there's something to look at there.
Which means if you're not the first-place team in the East, if you're not the first-place team in the West.
Yeah, you're going to be battling them.
You're going to be battling these teams with the easy schedule. Now, at some point, they're going to cross-pollinate and play each other.
Right.
But still, 3-2-0 teams potentially in the NFC South by the time tonight's game's end.
Yeah, yeah. It should be good, you know, and we'll see where that goes.
Speaking of the NFC South.
Oh, that's where I'm going. And my superlative is a bird of a different feather.
Oh.
I don't even know. What does that mean? I don't even know.
Like, birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
Like the same, like you never see robin, sparrow,
I know,
blue jay, eagle.
So what's a bird of a different feather? I mean, like, he just, he's a different bird?
There is no, you're thinking horse of a different color. You're
no,
mixing your
there's
metaphors.
A bird, no,
bird of
I
a different
don't think,
feather.
No.
I don't think
there is.
Thing.
Look it up. Right. A bird of a different feather is a thing, okay?
Well, it is now.
I'm an accidental idiot, okay, like you said, and an accidental scholar every now and then. But the point being the Atlanta Falcons and Bijan Robinson.
Damn it, there is one.
Damn,
right,
I right. told you.
All right.
I know. I don't know what it means, but I knew I heard it before, so that's why I went with it. But Bijan Robinson, the Atlanta Falcons, first off, gutsy win by them yesterday. Really had some things kind of go against them, blew some opportunities, had a missed field goal, had a, you know, first and goal inside the 5-yard line, came away with no points, had, you know, 2 feet out of bounds by Mac Hollins on a touchdown catch, right? So they kind of had to weather the storm a little bit. And, of course, we're down 12 points in the fourth quarter. But the big thing is Desmond Ridder got going a little bit in the passing game. And this is one of the best offensive lines in football. And then you throw that with this guy, Bijan Robinson, he's a bird of a different feather, okay? I mean, you saw yesterday the ability to accelerate and then jam his foot in the ground and cut one way and then reaccelerate and jam another foot in the ground and make somebody – I mean, this run right here. I mean, to make those type of cuts and really never lose speed, that is special. And then the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, seamless there. So you saw what he can bring to the table for this offense. And then they have a nice complement with Algier there. So that was encouraging, too, because I believe in the Falcons. You know that. Pitts is good. Drake London's good. The defense is good. Week one, I thought Desmond Ridder was a little hesitant to pull the trigger and make some throws down the field. I saw a little of that yesterday. I mean, we were watching, right? He was a little shaky, Desmond Ridder, there for a little while. Threw an interception, had another one where Jaire Alexander probably should have had a pick six where he threw it right into his chest. There were some moments during the game where you went, ooh, man, Ridder looked shaky. But late third quarter, fourth quarter, he rebounded, and they went on some long drives, controlled the game, and their defense kind of shut down Jordan Love in the run game, and they couldn't get anything going. And Falcons 2-0, 25-24 victory over the Green Bay Packers.
Birds of a different feather is a reference to the proverb, birds of a feather flock together.
Okay.
So it's a twist on it that if
gotcha.
It's birds of a different feather, you have birds that are mixed together that aren't of the same
gotcha.
Type of
thank
bird.
You for, you know, now I know a little
now
bit.
Now you know.
Okay.
And now you know. And now you also know this. We'll take a break. We'll have more PFT Live right after this.
What a fantastic Raven team win. Rough, tough, physical, smart win. And a win with playmakers making plays when they had to make plays. Just couldn't be more proud of those guys in this environment. Opening day, the crowd was crazy. And the team we're playing, the Bengals, are outstanding. So that's an awesome team win. I'm just proud of every single guy on the team. Resiliency, tenacity, you know, long drives, plays made when they had to be made, stops when they had to be made. Just an outstanding effort and a great way to come in here to open up the AFC North trek that we're about to go on.
John Harbaugh very happy with his Ravens team moving to 2-0. I said last night, these wins, any September wins are money in the bank.
Right.
When you're a team that's breaking in an entirely new offense and it's a work in progress and you see it sputter some, if you're winning games while you're still figuring out, you know,
yeah.
where this goes, where that
right.
goes. Kind of like us in the new studio.
Yeah.
If, unlike us, we're not winning games.
Are we winning today?
We're not. I don't know if we're winning or not. Fortunately, there's no score. But they're finding a way to get victories as they're making this new offense
yeah.
work.
Right.
And I think that's the thing to be most excited about if you're John Harbaugh.
That's right.
Because that win over the Bengals from Sunday, that may be the difference between winning the division and second place.
Right.
It could be the difference between getting into the playoffs
two-seed.
Or not getting
right.
in at all.
Yeah.
That one win
right.
that will be months in the rearview mirror.
Right.
And their team will be much different when the dust settles on the season. But that September 17 victory
could be the thing that makes the difference.
Yeah, I mean, defense for second week in a row was damn good. This week, the offense came to the party a little bit. And we saw typical Ravens running the football, Gus Edwards gashing them. They had a good day on the ground. And then we saw the drop-back pass offense become a real thing. I mean, Lamar Jackson, to what John Harbaugh is saying there, they just made some big plays and some big throws and some big moments. It was a weird game, right? The Bengals offense struggled mightily again. I mean, they're just too talented to be doing what they're doing right now. They frustrate me that way. And you know my take on that, that they're just – they're a little too basic, and they a little too much worry about the Jimmy. They rely on the Jimmys and the Joes, and there's just not enough, like we talk about.
You had it diagnosed. It's all slants. It's all
in-route. It's all basic. Yeah, it's all two things.
You knew exactly. They're showing the replay of the interception in the end zone. You said, let me guess. In-route.
And the Ravens knew that too. But there we were. You're going, the Ravens are dominating the game, and they're up 13-10 because there was a punt return where there was a penalty thrown, and they just magically picked it up all of a sudden and said it wasn't a block in the
back. There is no foul on the play.
We saw it a few times yesterday, actually, where there was a foul, and you were like, wait, they're just going to pick it up? And then so they let them hang around for a little bit, but I do think the big point was that interception there. It's 13-10, and you're going, wait, are the Bengals going to go down here and take the lead in a game they've been dominated to this point? Backside safety, Geno Stone makes the play here. I don't know why he didn't cut back and run for a touchdown right there. I mean, but great job by him and Burrow not seeing the backside safety. Well, the Bengals' offense is rusty right now. They look like it. And Joe Burrow looks like a guy that hasn't played or practiced a ton throughout the summer. But, yeah, big-time moment. Lamar looked really good. He made some great throws. We saw Zay Flowers. We saw the run game. The defense, typical Ravens, and good win for them on the road.
And the problem for the Bengals is they opened with a couple of division rivals.
That's
so
right.
They lost to the Browns. They've lost to the Ravens. Here's Joe Burrow on the Cincinnati Bengals' 0-2 start to the 2023 season.
Obviously, you don't want to start 0-2. It's not what we were planning on, not what you want to do at all. But, you know, we're going to bounce back. That's what we do. That's all there is to it. When your quarterback misses camp, it's tough to start fast. It's not an ideal situation.
What do you say there? It's tough to start fast. Why?
When your quarterback misses camp.
Oh yeah,
because he did.
That's right.
And
we've seen
that.
Self-aware.
Every year, 2021, he was coming off the torn ACL. Last year, he had the appendectomy, and they started slowly. They went 0-2, and then this year. They're again 0-2 after he missed most of camp with the calf injury. He aggravated it. I saw Jack Collinsworth tweet that Burrow struggled to walk to the middle of the field to shake Lamar Jackson's hand.
Right.
I didn't see that.
I did too.
We saw the massage gun on the calf.
Right.
And tried to find out some more last night. You know, a lot of times what happens after these guys lose a game, they don't talk to anybody about anything. So nobody really knows what he's dealing with. And they're not going to know until he goes in to the training room and they take a look at it. But that's the problem.
This is what you talked about all year. Yeah, you said it right away.
Even when you think it's healed, it's not. Because you are going to apply a force to your body that is more extreme than what you ordinarily do in the throes of a game.
Right.
And it's going to pull again. And there's going to be something else again. And he's going to be dealing with this the rest of the season because he's not going to – what are they going to do? He's got another game. There's another train coming down the tracks.
No.
And then another one after that. Is he going to stand down for Jake Browning? So I don't know what – I don't know what this means for the Bengals. But 0-2 is bad enough. You throw the calf on top of it, and who knows where it goes from here for Joe Burrow. At least he got paid. But you're eventually going to have Bengals fans saying we shouldn't have paid him.
It's going into the thing where it's like, it's not his calf. There's something else there that's the problem. And the calf's having to do too much. And then you pull the calf muscle and you re-aggravate it. Why would you stick something in there to go and break it down more, right? That's where the NFL is off base with some of their rehab stuff. They really are. But that's a story for another day. They're too talented on offense to – 41 times, 222 yards. We know that. I know they're going to get it together because, Zach Taylor, he is a good coach. He coaches them tough, and they're detailed and good in what they do. And like we said last week, they're one of those teams that once they get a few games of being able to evaluate you, then they start to go, wait, we can formulate a plan. Even though I go, still, it's a little simple. Like we've talked about, they run the right plays into the right looks, and then he's amazing, and the players are amazing off that. But the story of the day still is Lamar Jackson and the fact that, hey, he got paid, and he delivered yesterday in a big way. I mean, one, right after the interception, right? I mean, we saw a big play there, but this is pinpoint passing, arm looks good, comfortable in the pocket. This was the one. After the interception, in the pocket, from his own 30 all the way down to the other 10 on just kind of a rope to Zay Flowers. And then we saw some Lamar magic where he got out of the jam a few times. And here, this was the game closer. I mean, it really was. It was 3rd-and-3, and you're going, man, are they going to give the ball back to the Bengals and let them go down here and let Joe Burrow be clutch? His legs got him out of a jam a few times. You know, he looked really good yesterday, a lot more comfortable than he did in week one. And I think that's encouraging for Todd Monken, the Ravens, the fans, everybody.
A couple of interesting games coming up for the Ravens after their 2-0 start. They've got the Colts coming back to the town from which they
left.
Snuck out in the right. night. And then the Ravens the next week go back to the town they left when they were the Browns in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's the next two games. Colts come back to town. Ravens go back to Cleveland, and we'll see if they can start 4-0 and continue this early season track. One last note before we go to break. I don't peek ahead in the schedule a whole lot because I like focus on what's going on now. Next
right.
Monday night,
what?
Super Bowl 56 rematch, Rams at Bengals.
Ooh.
It's got a different vibe
it
now.
It definitely
we
does.
We got some urgency for the Bengals. We got the Rams looking better than we
better
thought
than we
they
thought,
would.
For sure.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
That's why.
Two coaches that know each other.
That's one to look forward to
definitely.
Next Monday night. All
Agreed.
Right, we're going to recap some of the wild finishes we saw on the second Sunday of the regular season. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Geno from the shotgun with Walker beside him. 3 wide receivers in the game. Geno is looking. Now he throws far side. It's Lockett. Does he reach the ball across? He does.
Yeah.
It's over,
yes.
Baby. Touchdown, Seahawks. Tyler Lockett on a little pass out into the right side flat. Reaches the ball across the pylon. Tyler Lockett, my hero. Game over. Seahawks win 37-31.
One of the biggest surprises of the day, for as bad as the Seahawks looked in week one and as good as the Lions look, the Seahawks went in, they stole the game, they stole the Honolulu Blue ski masks that C.J. Gardner-Johnson had everyone buy up. The villains for the villains were the Seahawks. Just like Sauce Gardner last year when he got the cheese head. Be careful with your props. Somebody's going to get it, and somebody's going to turn it against you, and that's exactly what they did. That is something. So
Seahawks love being the villains.
Tyler Lockett, he almost got himself in trouble.
Why?
Well, let's roll the play again. He almost
North Korea?
He almost got himself into a little North Korea situation. Like Justin, the worst rule in football. Like Justin Jefferson on Thursday night. Wasn't here for us to talk about it on Friday.
I'm so mad.
You
want to give the ball back to the audience. You made a mistake. Give the ball back to them and let them do it again.
Here's the Tyler Lockett play. They're going to re-rack, re-cue at some point, maybe. I don't know. They're telling me what they're going to do, but I don't know because I'm talking at the same time. So anyway, Tyler Lockett, as he catches the ball, and he was trying to set a pick for Jackson Smith and Jigba. He came from the slot, and then they switched.
Looked like he was supposed to run in and then kind of saw something and went back
but
out.
But then curled around, and his guy kind of got flat-footed.
Lost him, yeah.
And Geno Smith threw the ball. Tyler Lockett makes the catch, and he said they preach don't reach the ball to the pylon, and he knows what would have happened if it – because, look, he's starting to lose it just as he touches it. If he loses control of that ball at all – and look how close it was. If that thing's coming out of his left hand, because it was out of his right hand, if it's coming out of his left hand too when it hits that pylon, it is Lions ball at the 20. That, my friends – and those of you who regard me as an enemy, although I don't know why you would, is why it's the worst rule in football.
Well, what do you want them to do? It's their territory.
That's an outdated view of football. It's their territory. It's a fight for
your
territory.
Your view is so soft, and you sound like some millennial. I just want to get the ball back. I made a mistake, but I want the ball back.
I'm supposed
right
to
here.
Be the old man saying, get off my lawn.
Right.
Get off my territory.
It's the only ownership on the field. The ball was free in their
You
area.
Want it to be like the old man who they throw the ball over his fence, and if you throw the ball over my fence, it's mine. You don't get it back.
Screw you, kid. Throw the ball better, okay? All right, that's what I say, all right?
So anyway, Tyler Lockett knows the rule, and that's the bottom line.
Right.
Until they change the rule, and they never will. They'll never change the rule until it happens in a Super Bowl, and a bunch of people that only watch football for the commercials on Super Bowl Sunday say, what the hell
and
is that?
And I'll be there to explain them that it makes perfect sense.
But because when it happens during the season, we forget about it.
Yeah.
The next bright, shiny object comes along, and we've already forgotten about the Vikings play. But if that's the rule, then the coaching point is
don't
reach the ball toward the pylon, because if you lose possession and it touches the pylon, bye-bye, ball goes to the other team. And in overtime, all the Seahawks or Lions would have had to do is drive it a field goal range, and it's over.
Right.
So Tyler Lockett said he wasn't going to do it, but he knew where the defender was.
Yep.
He thought he could get away with it,
right,
and he did, and he won the game.
Yeah.
But there would have been hell to pay if he had lost possession of that ball.
Yeah.
Or if it would have been one of those where – because I think this is what stuns people, and we saw it. I think it was a Lions-Panthers preseason game where the guy – and it's like all of a sudden it goes from – touchdown to, oh, no, the other team has the ball on the 20.
Yeah.
And I think that's what folks have a hard time reconciling. It seems like too drastic of a swing. Peter King and I, when we talked about it on Friday, we said, you know, the fair middle ground would be, if you're going to give the ball to the other team, give it to them at the spot of the fumble.
Okay.
Don't give it to them
on the 20. I can get behind that.
Oh,
I can get behind that.
Progress.
I can get behind that.
Progress.
Okay, that's good there.
And then the Lions would have been they would have been on their own, you know, one-inch line if that would have happened.
Right. Okay, so we made a little progress there. You're right.
All right.
You know, Lions, offense good once again. Jared Goff, I know he threw a pick six. He played awesome. I can't believe Jared Goff. The transformation he's made in the last, you know, year or half a year is unreal. He made a ton of big throws, answered the bell. Really, the Lions are going to be sick when they go back today, right? I mean, they're up 14-7. David Montgomery fumbles the first play of the third quarter. Touchdown Seahawks a few plays later. Next drive, Jared Goff throws the pick six, and all of a sudden, they're down 21-14. This was a game that was going to go back and forth, and we knew that, and the Lions seemed to have had the advantage. And those turnovers were – I'm never going to be a guy that, like, oh, turnovers. But this was one where it was pretty apparent. It jump-started this comeback by the Seahawks and kind of allowed them to kind of gain control in the second half. The Lions were resilient. We know that. But two things disappointing with the Lions. Run game hasn't really got going in either week here. And I still question the defense. I mean, again, if Kadarius Chubbs Tony from Happy Gilmore with the wooden hand catches the ball, they're probably going to win the game.
I mean, all in
okay?
the hips.
All in the hips. But, yeah, so it was a really fun, exciting game. We know that Seahawks team is talented. Their defense, I think, is still finding their way. But, yeah, the Lions are going to be pissed off that they blew that one.
Good news for the Lions. Everybody in the division lost this weekend, right. So it didn't hurt any of them. But it was an opportunity for the Lions to seize control of the NFC North. We'll take a break. When we return, I think we're talking Giants-Cardinals. I don't know. We are talking Giants-Cardinals. The G-Men.
Oh, G-Men.
Dig out of a big hole. We'll discuss that next on PFT Live.
Nobody backs Danny Dimes into a corner.
Just when it looked like the Giants were on their way to 0-2 and maybe after that 0-8, down 28-7 in the third quarter, Danny Dimes wakes it up, ties the game, wins the game 31-28. The Cardinals got to learn how to close out. I don't think they ever expected to be up 28-7.
No.
There is the game-winning kick, and the Giants get to 1-1 somehow. Somehow. And it's still not looking great overall for the Giants when you consider Saquon Barkley has the ankle sprain, MRI today, Thursday night game at San Francisco. They're staying out on the West Coast. They played at Arizona yesterday, but that's a quick turnaround. It's one of the problems with short week football. I don't know how bad the ankle is, but maybe he could play Sunday. Maybe he won't be able to play Thursday.
He ain't playing. I would be shocked. Just the way it looked, right? They had a, you know, he had to go two arms around, you know, a guy and really couldn't put pressure coming off the field.
I heard he was walking fine in the locker room, though. That's a weird thing about ankles. Because I've sprained an ankle one
time.
They can
hurt a lot at
first. I thought it was done.
Right.
I thought I was going to be limping around for weeks. And, like, the day after, like, the first day is like, man, and I'm limping. It's like, this is horrible. The next day, it's like, hey, this is getting better.
Yeah.
This isn't bad.
Hopefully. I hope so.
And we're talking about finely tuned professional athletes who know how to recover from things. And there were some tweets last night from reporters covering the team that he was despondent or whatever. Well, there goes that incentive package if you miss. And
sure.
Because it's superstar incentive, career year incentive. He misses one game, he's not going to be on track to make that extra money. But we'll see. We'll see. He's had plenty of injuries. It's part of the position. Ankles, ACLs, knees, everything. You're getting hit in every direction by every shape and size of player. But the Giants get the win. And, yeah, their reward is now they get the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy. Hopefully for the Giants' sake that they found something in a rhythm and a little bit of a formula in the second half to make their offense dangerous.
Cut it loose.
You know,
that
was the big thing. They opened the field up a little bit. I think in week one and even in the first half of this football game, it was a little bit, hey, we're going to run the ball and Daniel Jones will run the ball here and there, and we're going to throw a bunch of 5, 8, and 10-yard passes. It's like they came out in the second half and said, screw all that. We're going to attack. First play of the second half, right, was a bomb to Jalin Hyatt, their third-round pick, who can fly coming out of Tennessee. That kind of opened it up. I felt like they just got a little more aggressive. We saw Danny Dimes make some plays with his legs a little bit. I'd be interested to see what adjustments Wink Martindale made. Right? Because it looked like in the first half, Arizona had all the answers. They were picking up all the blitzes, doing a lot of impressive things there. But yeah, big win, big comeback for the Giants. And yeah, I hope Saquon is okay. But that was pretty awesome by Daniel Jones and company. And hopefully they can kind of ride that momentum in San Francisco and give them a tough day.
Another reason they needed that game, they would have fallen two games behind the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders.
Right.
Who are now 2-0. After the big comeback in Denver, it looked like the Broncos were going to make quick work of the Commanders. Second biggest comeback win in franchise history. And it's a franchise that's been around forever. But the Broncos still had a chance to force overtime. They have the Hail Mary pass late. There it is. The final play of the game. Russell Wilson fires it to the end zone. You rarely see one of these work. And there it is. And pop. And there. Touchdown. But the two-point conversion, which featured, I think, an uncalled instance of pass interference. Matthew Berry complains all the time about the Giants-Commanders game last year when there was pass interference. It wasn't called. He ain't going to complain at all about this next play if we show it. I mean, the guy got hit, clearly early. That's clearly pass interference.
It's clearly called pass interference for 57 minutes of every game, and it's not even close.
I mean, you mug the guy before the ball arrives. You impede him from
catching the
ball.
And that's the first quarter. There's 74 flags on the field.
Yeah.
Right? Come on. This is a little frustrating. All of a sudden, playoffs, late in games, all of a sudden the game's ref differently. And that was wrong. That was PI.
I just feel like nobody wants to be the one
that
kills that moment. And gets it wrong.
Exactly.
Don't want to take the chance of getting
that's
it wrong. So the flag stays down in the pocket.
But I want to just hit this real quick. It was 21-3, the Denver Broncos. They were driving, and Russell Wilson scrambles to the left and fumbles the ball. And Washington goes down and scores a touchdown. They make Denver go three and out. They get a field goal. And you're going, the Broncos look like they're going to blow them out. And they win it at halftime at 21-14. The game was never the same after that. This play you'll see right here. Second and 15, 45-yard line. First off, I don't think he had a run. He has a wide-open in-cut, but he kind of panics for whatever reason, leaves, and he fumbles the ball. And it was, you know, like we talked about a little earlier in the show, there was three or four games yesterday where you looked at one play and you went, it just changed everything, and I got to give Sam Howell and that offense some credit for being aggressive and making some big plays.
Let me just say this. Broncos had two winnable games to start the season at home. Don't look at the schedule from here on out. It does not
get
any
brutal.
Easier. Yeah. And if this doesn't turn around, it's not Sean Payton who's going to be gone next year. It's Russell Wilson who's going to be gone.
He's done
I know.
Yeah.
There's a $35 million commitment they have to make in March.
Right.
And I'm just saying, let's see how this goes. We got to take a break. We'll wrap up this Monday edition of PFT Live right after this. All right, we got a doubleheader tonight, Saints-Panthers and Browns-Steelers with the overlap. I don't like the overlap. I don't like two games being on at the same time. I like one game. I like to watch one game.
Right.
So the big game tonight is Browns-Steelers.
Right.
And I'm going to go, if I make it, back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I have no reason to think I won't, but I had no reason to think I wouldn't last week, and I didn't.
Take some pictures while you're there. Give me some selfies.
Why?
All right. Because we want to see him on the show tomorrow.
Right,
I want to
we'll
make
see.
Fun of you.
We'll see.
Have a beer in your hand. Drink two. Okay?
No, I have to drive.
That's silly.
No.
Okay. You're going to drive? You're not going to get a driver? All that money you got? You're not going to get a driver?
My family's coming up to get
you're
me to the
gonna
airport.
You're not going to get them a driver to get them up to the airport?
Can you,
you
stop?
Cheap bastard, you.
They prefer it that way.
Browns are going to win.
Okay.
So
Steelers are going to win.
Yeah. Sorry. They're going to
stop
on your terrible towel.
I got my terrible towel.
No Cam Hayward.
Don't stop on the terrible towel. You found out the hard way in 2008 with your Titans.
Yeah, I did.
I got Saints. I got Steelers.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm 3-1 against you so far, so you need this one tonight.
Oh,
yes.
You're talking about picks on a Monday,
huh? That's right, because I did well.
Oh, yeah. Pete, send them.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.